If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, this is God's Word. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, folks, in case you don't really follow very carefully what's being read, this is describing one of the most amazing miracles in the history of our planet. God, who created everything and has all knowledge and all power, designed the means of reproduction to be that a man and a woman come together and produce a child. That same God promised that one day he would send a Savior who would not have a human father. Rather, a virgin would conceive and bear a child. Now, the short-term fulfillment was that a young woman, which is the other meaning of the word virgin, conceived and had a child back in the time of Isaiah. That was the short-term fulfillment, and it's spoken of in that passage. But there was an anticipation of something else coming. What happened in the short-term fulfillment was just a foreshadowing of the miracle that would occur in the ultimate fulfillment, which is in Jesus Christ. Well, Joseph wasn't thinking in those terms when he got engaged to a lovely young lady by the name of Mary. We assume she was lovely. Don't know that, don't have any pictures, but, I mean, we assume. He certainly wanted to marry her. He became engaged to her. But because they were godly people, they did not have physical relations when they weren't married yet. They were engaged, but they weren't married. Let me just pause for a moment to say, you're not supposed to have sexual relations when you're not married. And when you are married, you're only supposed to have sexual relations with the person you're married to. Now, in your student handbooks, there's a statement regarding this that you need to memorize. Some of you have been here a while and hopefully have it memorized. Staff, I trust, has it memorized. New students, you need to memorize this. Because this is rule number one, okay, regarding sex. Let's see if we can say it together. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Good job. Let's try it one more time. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. What if you're not married to each other? Then it's not okay. What if it's like a man and a man? Then it's not okay. What if it's like a woman and a woman? Then it's not okay. Well, what if it's a man and a woman who are married to each other, but it's not an expression of love? Then it's not okay. Well, what if it's an expression of love and you're going to be married? Then it's not okay. Is that clear? I don't know how we can make that more clear. That was the consensus of God's people through the millennia. Not of the pagans around them. And not everybody did what was right. Remember the story in Joseph's genealogy about Judah and Tamar. They violated that law. But they knew that that was the law. Because when Tamar is found to be expecting a child, they're ready to stone her to death. Until Judah realizes, oh, I'm the dad. She is more righteous than I. Because I not only was immoral, but I also lied to her and failed to keep the commitment that God had put upon us. So please understand that even when people didn't obey the law, God's people knew the law. And even today, in this culture, where our government is punishing people who want to tell the truth about right and wrong, people of God need to know the difference between right and wrong. And so Joseph and Mary were not yet married. And so they didn't have physical intimacy. But all of a sudden, Joseph finds out that Mary's expecting a child. And he knows he's not the father. Now, why would he know he's not the father? Because these were not some primitive simpletons who didn't understand where babies come from. Every now and then, at least once a year, some new self-styled, I still claim to be an evangelical nitwit, preaches a sermon or writes an article or pens a book claiming that, you know, if we're going to reach people, we've got to, you know, back off some of these hard-to-believe stories. Really. I mean, who in our day and time can believe in the virgin birth? I mean, come on. I mean, get real. Okay, let me get real. God is the one who did this. God accomplished it. It isn't something that just happens sometimes. You know, I mean, sometimes it's the way it is. You know, your young lady walking down the street, all of a sudden, I think I feel something. Wow, I'm pregnant. No, that's not the way it works. This is not presented as the virgin birth of Jesus, which is, it's unusual, but it's not completely miraculous. No, it's presented as a totally unbelievable miracle that even Joseph doesn't believe when Mary tries to explain it to him. And Joseph, when he hears Mary's story, doesn't buy it. He's thinking, sorry, babe, but I just can't go for that. You're telling me that out of all the women in history, you're the one? I know you're special, but come on. Joseph, when he learned that she was expecting a child, decided, I'm just going to quietly divorce her. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He could have. He could have felt really angry. He didn't believe her, clearly. And so he could have been all angry and upset and said, I can't believe she betrayed me. Now she's lying to me, trying to get me to believe this crazy story about God being the father of her baby. Come on. But Joseph, being a good man, decided that rather than have her punished for what she had done, in his opinion, he would simply, quietly divorce her. End the engagement. Let her go off in secret. That's the way the story would have ended for Joseph. But God had not just chosen Mary to be Jesus' mother, but God had chosen Joseph to be Jesus' father. Stepfather, if you will. Adoptive father, if you will. God knew this is the man. And so God sent an angel to Joseph. An angel of the Lord, in verse 20, appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from the Romans. Right? Did I read that right? What? Did I make a mistake? Okay, let's see. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, which means Savior. The Lord saves is what it means. You're to give him the name the Lord saves, Jesus, because he will save his people from difficult economic conditions. No? He will save his people from having low self-esteem. No? He will save his people from... What does it say he'll save us from? Sins! What's our biggest problem, folks? That's our problem. If there was one thing about yourself that you would like to see changed, what is it? I'd like to be taller. Well, which of you, by worrying, can add a single cubit to your height? Is it really your height? Is that the big deal? I'd like to be thinner. Okay, wouldn't we all? No, actually, there are some people who are like, I'd like to be able to gain weight. To which I want to say, shut up. Okay? But, you know, people want different things. I wish I had curly hair. I've always thought that curls were so nice. Well, that's why you have straight hair. I wish that my hair were straight. I have these curls, and sometimes when the weather is humid, I just can't do anything with it. Yeah. And other people are going to the beauty shop and paying to have rollers and chemicals put in their hair in order to have curls like you. So you're complaining. Well done. I wish my eyes were blue. My mentor has the most beautiful blue eyes. And I wish I had blue eyes like my mentor. Amy Carmichael, as a child, used to pray every night that God would give her blue eyes. She was a little girl in Ireland, and she had brown eyes, and that was just not fashionable. And so she used to pray every night. And one morning got up just believing that, you know, the Bible says if we ask God, God will answer our prayers. And I just believe, and she went and looked in the mirror, and she still had brown eyes. And she just didn't understand, but God had a plan for her. More about that story some other time. Let me tell you something. Your problem is not your height, your weight, your eye color, your hair. The problem we all have that is the most serious problem we've got is sin. We know the right thing to do, and even when we try to do it, we fall short. We know we ought not to do that, and so we try to avoid it, and we still tip in sometimes. We have a sin problem. And the consequence of our sin is that we deserve the wrath of a holy God. We deserve to be destroyed because of the way that over and over and over again we say no to God and no to His law and we do our own thing instead of what God says. And so we desperately need somebody to save us. Jesus is that Savior. He came to save us. To save us from our sins. So an angel appears to Joseph, tells him that what Mary is saying is true. The child really is fathered by God. That doesn't mean that God physically fathered the child. God is spirit. It wasn't a physical union. It was a supernatural miracle. But please understand this. When the angel spoke to him, I want you to notice a phrase back in verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Why does he say, don't be afraid? Because apparently, a part of Joseph really wanted to believe Mary. I mean, what she's telling me is crazy. I can't believe that. I just can't believe that. If he went ahead and married her, people would assume that either he had been immoral or that he was an idiot. If I marry her, but the baby is born shortly after we're married, then everybody is going to believe that the two of us were having marital relations when we weren't married. And that would be a shameful thing. We live in a culture where even our churches act as if, oh, well, it's no big deal. I mean, everybody does that. No, not everybody does that. Not everybody does that.
Honey, if you love me, you'll let me.
If you ever hear that from some guy who's wanting to marry you or says he wants to marry you or says he might want to marry you or says you're beautiful, get away from him as fast as possible, because I can tell you this much about him. He doesn't love you. If he's trying to manipulate you, young lady, into doing things that God says you're not supposed to do, you don't want to be around him. Joseph would have been thought either immoral or an idiot. Picture yourself being Joseph. You're engaged to her. People find out that she's already expecting, and they're like, man, you just couldn't wait? He's like, oh, no, it wasn't me. It was God. Okay? It's all right. Who's going to believe him? No, we weren't immoral. We were blessed with a miracle. Nobody's going to buy that any more than Joseph bought it. So, the Lord appeared to him and said, don't be afraid. Don't worry about what other people are going to think. Oftentimes, if you do what God says, people will misunderstand and think ill of you. Often. Not just, every once in a great while, God may call you to do something that other people won't understand. No, it's more like Often, when you obey God, other people will misunderstand, misinterpret, and think badly of you as a result. But the angel told him, don't be afraid. Go ahead and marry her. This really is of God. And so Joseph wakes up and he does it. But how do you know if, you know, I mean, it was a dream. You know, I dreamed that an angel came to me. Well, I dream every now and then that I'm flying. You know, but I don't wake up and say, hey, I discovered last night while I was dreaming, I can fly. I'm going to go up on the roof and try it out. No. Okay? Just because you dream something doesn't make it so. So how do you know if this dream you had is really, you know, just a dream, or if it's the word of the Lord? How do you know? I'm glad you asked that question. Take a look and see. Verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The reason that the message from the angel was to be believed was because it was consistent with the scriptures that Joseph knew. Why do we want you to study your Bible? Because it's the Word of God. And the more you know the Word of God, the more you will be able to discern right and wrong in a world that is going to bombard you with lies. And you're going to need to know, well, that's false. Well, that's a bunch of hooey. Well, I'm not going to fall for that. Because God says this. That's why when I hear somebody who claims to be an evangelical telling people, you don't need to believe that the Bible is true, I think, you don't act like you know the same Jesus I know. Because Jesus says, not one punctuation mark is going to disappear from the Word of God. Heaven and earth will disappear. But God's Word is going to abide forever. Jesus, over and over and over and over, said to His followers, don't you understand the Scriptures had to be fulfilled? The Scriptures had to be fulfilled. The Scriptures had to be fulfilled. How else could the Scriptures be fulfilled? This had to happen because the Scriptures had to be fulfilled. I don't think Jesus would pastor a megachurch today. You know? Not because megachurches have to be bad, but I just don't think the strategy we use for sales and marketing and call it evangelism is really consistent with the way Jesus taught. Jesus said stuff like, unless you're willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Okay, see ya. The crowds left. They scattered. Why? Because Jesus wasn't into building a big audience of people by not saying anything that might turn them off. Let me tell you something about unsaved people. They're off. Got it? They're off. They're off. They're spiritually dead. And so if you have compassion on them, you're not going to be worried that you don't want to offend them with the truth of God's Word. Now, there's a whole lot of other stuff that we routinely offend people with that is shame on us, okay? But if we're offending them with the truth, that's not a problem. When a person is spiritually dead, they need the truth to bring them to life. And Jesus said, most people are going to travel the broad road, not the narrow one. The Bible speaks again and again of a remnant the small group that God saves. Now, it'll still be a number too great for us to count. But it's the narrow way. So please understand, Joseph knew the Scriptures. And when the angel spoke to him in his dream, he recognized, this is what God has promised. This is the fulfillment. God knew how to speak to Joseph. And so when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Did you hear that? He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. It wasn't just don't be afraid to do this. It was don't be afraid, do this. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. He didn't say, okay, I'll marry you, but let's don't live together right now. He took Mary home as his wife, verse 25. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. Talk about self-control. Talk about honor. Talk about decency. Talk about consideration. Talk about love. Here's a guy who had rights, and he engaged in self-denial out of love for her and out of respect for God. She gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, there are some people whose church teaches them that Mary never had physical relations with Joseph. Okay? That's what they teach. That, you know, Jesus was born of a virgin and then she stayed a virgin after that and she is perpetually a virgin. There is not one scintilla of evidence in Scripture to support that. And there is much in Scripture to refute that, starting with the language used here. It says Joseph didn't have relations with her ever. Is that what it says? What? No. It says Joseph didn't have relations with her until after the birth of the child. Okay, how many of you in this room can understand what that means? They didn't have relations until after the child was born. If I said, we're not going to eat until after we pray. Oh, well, I was really looking forward to eating. Yeah, but we're going to pray first. Oh, I was really hoping I'd be able to have some food. You're going to be able to have food. We're just going to pray first. So does that mean we never get to eat? No. It means we're going to pray first. What does the text say? It says he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. So what happened after? They were man and wife. That's what happened. And if you read the rest of the Gospels, you will find Mary and the brothers and sisters of Jesus mentioned in the text. Well, I just don't believe that. I think that Mary stayed pure. She did stay pure. Because relations between a husband and wife are pure. And any religious group that tries to make not having married relations more pure than having married relations is a twisted group. You understand? That is a bogus, demonic teaching. So are you saying those people are a bunch of demons? No. I'm saying they have been misled by people who had major problems with what God says about sex. And they think that somehow, you know, it's If you get married, you know, I mean, I guess you do what you have to do. But if you really want to be close to God, you need to be single and never engage in sex. Well, that's not working out real well for that group. Because that's a recipe for putting in leadership exclusively a group of people that has a high percentage of sexual problems. Okay? Did you get that? Please understand this. The Bible is God's Word. And it tells us what we need to know about life and godliness. And the star of the story is Jesus. But it'll tell you what you need to do in order to live a life that honors the Lord. And the life of Mary and Joseph are pretty wonderful examples. Now, what's the main point, Pastor? I was still waiting and you didn't say the main point is. Let me tell you the main point. Ready? Joseph models it. Here's the main point. The right response to God's Word is to believe and obey. The right response to God's Word is to believe and obey. You can finish writing that down, but I want you to say it with me. The right response to God's Word is to believe and obey. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that it is alive. Thank you that it doesn't change. Thank you that it changes us. Help us to believe and obey, even as Joseph did. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.